This world-renowned white-suited John Travolta look-alike has settled behind the microphone once again for your benefit. Ladies and gentlemen, the one and only...
He's only mortal, folks.
Paul Lavoie.
And Radio here, inviting you to another episode of the Havasu Pioneers Radio Show.
All right, welcome to Speak Out and the Havasu Pioneers Radio Show. Another voyage coming your way, episode 76, I believe. And go figure, Dan, it's April Fool's Day, right?
Yeah, and boy, the joke is on me today.
The joke is on both of us. It's not, and it's no joke, unfortunately. We got the whole time change thing just messes everything up at the networks, and sometimes it messes with us too. So anyway, Dan, thanks for being so flexible and being able to do this via remote. We really appreciate it.
Well, thanks, Paul. And so, folks, my apologies. We did broadcast across the web that the show would be on at noon today. So for those that are listening, maybe you can share with your friends that we are simply going to have to share the recording at noon and or a little later on today. And so we have a very special guest. We have Joe Honeycutt with us today.
Well, he's not he's not on the line yet.
Okay, and so we're waiting for him to call back in. Mm-hmm. Inevitably, Joe offered to come on to the show today because his dad was one of the original Holley salesmen that helped create Lake Havasu City. And I got to tell you, it's a unique experience to be a part of that whole entire company, the Holley Development Company, that helped create not only Lake Havasu City, but several other small communities around the United States. Including Colorado, Arkansas, California. I was fascinated to find out how many locations that both Robert McCulloch, C.V. Wood, and the Holley Development Company actually had a role in creating. It was fascinating. So we're hoping Joe will call back in here in just a moment. I'll tell you what, Paul, let me try sending him a text to see if he'll call back in.
Yeah, I've got him, Dan. I'm trying to route over here to a piece of equipment via Bluetooth. So just give me a second. Kind of tell our listeners again the significance of the guest, what the Havasu Pioneers Radio Show is all about. How long did you work on getting this guest? Because it sounds like it was pretty complicated.
Well, it was just through one of our well-known posts that take place on the Havasu Pioneers Facebook page. And a great many of the pioneers from back in the day and their family members participate on that page. And one of the questions was, how did you move to Lake Havasu City? What brought you there? And several people actually chimed in with some really great stories about how their families were transported from their hometowns to here in Lake Havasu City.
Mm-hmm.
And they're just fascinating. And one of those stories was Joe's. And he talked about his father, who inevitably ended up working with the Holley Corporation, Holley Development Company. So, we all got here on such a unique path. Many actually took the flight that was provided by McCulloch Airlines and flew here for free. And the experience was really unique because it was a free flight. You came in from wherever you came from into a desert. We'll call it oasis because we had a lake, but very barren land at the time. There were no real buildings other than a short handful to come and see. People were actually taken out in the desert, shown some really unique locations where their house could possibly be built.
Mm-hmm.
But again, I don't want to take away that from Joe.
Dan, let's see if we have, I have somebody on the line. I'm pretty sure it's Joe. Joe, can you hear us? Hello, Joe. I have a call here, but I don't see. Hold on. Joe, can you hear us now? I don't see why he's not on the line. No, I'm just, you know, these things happen, so.
Well, April 1st, you know, you
gotta
love
exactly,
it.
Yeah, exactly. Let me try to route a different way. And I just don't know if you'll be able to hear each other if I do it this way. So give me 1 second, Dan. And
it's going to voicemail, just so you know.
It is?
Yes.
Oh, you're going to voicemail because he's connected. I have him connected on the phone. So anyway, this is Riveting Radio, folks. We kind of apologize for that. So let me see if I don't know how I'm going to do this. So, all right. I guess I could take a break, and then we'll see if we can get this squared away. All right, Dan?
Okay. He says I can hear you.
Oh, does? He does?
Yeah, but we're not able to hear him, apparently.
No, I can't. So I'm gonna go direct here. Hold on 1 second, and I will fix this issue. Whoa.
He's hanging up and calling in again.
Yeah, I heard that. Okay.
You know, I'll tell you, folks, this is truly a memorable moment. I won't forget this one. Heck, I'm going to call back in and listen to this show just because it's got so many holes in it. It looks like Swiss cheese.
Hey, Joe, can you hear us?
I can hear you.
There you go. Dan, can you hear Joe?
Not much. It's going to be tough. And so.
Okay, go ahead. Let me relay the question. Go ahead, Dan.
I can't hear Dan.
Yeah, so, Joe, can you hear me okay?
No, he can't hear you, Dan. He cannot hear you. So I'm going to have to relay the question. It's okay. I've been an interpreter before. Not a problem.
I'll tell you what. So Joe, how did you get to Lake Havasu City and what brought your family here? What's your father's first name?
Joe, how did you get to Lake Havasu City? What is your father's first name and what brought you here?
My dad's name was Ray Honeycutt. And we lived in Billings, Montana. And about 1967, my dad was a traveling salesman for Tri-Jack Manufacturing up in Billings, Montana. And he got a card in the mail inviting him to go to an interview at the local Holiday Inn to see if he was interested in coming to Lake Havasu on a free 3-day, 2-night flight. I believe it was 3 days, 2 nights is how they worked. So he went to that meeting, and who he met with would be referred to as a generator. That generator, his job was to qualify people to see if they were financially stable, you know, met the age parameters, so on and so forth. And if they did, they'd put them on a flight and bring them down here. So they took that flight down here and liked what they saw, bought a piece of property. And my dad, ever the consummate salesman, did a pretty good job of selling himself on Holly Development Company. And very soon after that flight, he went to work for Holly as a generator. And he would spend most of his time back on the East Coast, in Newark, Rochester, Atlanta, Detroit. You know, most of the kids I went to school with, almost all the kids I went to school with were from the East Coast. We didn't see anybody from California back then. And, he'd be here in Havasu for a while, and we would drive down, and we'd spend the summer down here starting in 1968. And then when school started, we'd go back to go to school in Montana, and we eventually... when he got out of, was no longer a generator, he wanted to be here selling land. We finally moved down here full time in 1971, August of 71. What a wonderful time to land in Lake Havasu in a U-Haul truck with no air conditioning. So that's how I wound up here.
You catch all that, Dan?
Yes, I sure did.
Oh, excellent.
Joe, I got to tell you, it's
I can almost
it's an interesting plight to have anybody that has the courage to make that plunge, take the flight, come all the way down here, spend summers here, and then bring your family into Lake Havasu City.
There you go.
I'm so impressed with that story because it wasn't an easy time back then. Was it a little bit of a struggle for your family with your family when you first got here?
It wasn't really a struggle, no, because my dad was working. The struggle was finding some place to live. When we first came down here in 68 and subsequent years, we were staying at an apartment there on Moyo that is still there. I can't remember the name of the place now. But it was just a little cinder block flat roof place. But when we moved down here, trying to find some place to stay was very, very difficult. We wound up in a house at 500 Jones out on the golf course. And this was a cinder block, or not a cinder block, this is a slump stone house, still there. It had two air conditioning units, and they were both gas. Which I, even as a 11-year-old, thought was kind of strange. And the first month we were there in August, the gas bill was more than the rent. And my dad wouldn't go for that. So the struggle was just finding some place to live. We lived in several rental houses over the years. Until things got a little bit better housing-wise. But struggle financially, no. Struggle is... As a kid, yeah, it was, I mean, I was out in the middle of the desert. I found out real quick that a Schwinn two-speed bicycle was not something I was going to transport myself around Havasu on. So we learned do you remember the way we used to travel around town? You'd step out on the street, stick your thumb out, and somebody'd pick you up. And sometimes they'd even take you where you wanted to go. Otherwise, they'd get you close and drop you off.
Wow. I gotta tell you, that had to be a challenge.
The challenge was entertaining yourself as a kid in Havasu. You know, a lot of kids had dirt bikes. I wasn't allowed to have a dirt bike. So not until I was quite a bit older, but, there wasn't a heck of a lot to do around here. Now, if you were an adult, I mean, the community back then was so different. Get-togethers from the Holly salesmen and their wives getting together at whoever's house. We spent a considerable amount of time down the FHA track.
Oh, I just wanted to know if you could hear them.
Yeah, we can hear them, Dan.
Okay.
So.
Sorry.
They would send us off to go play in the backyard while they enjoyed cocktails and talked business and visited and whatever. But for little kids, it was pretty sparse.
Yeah. Dan, the audio quality is actually really good from him and you.
Yeah. Unfortunately, I'm getting every other word, so that's my challenge.
Okay.
Joe, let me ask you, how many years did your dad work for Holly?
Well, he started in 1967, end of 67, if I recall, and then he worked for Holly right up until the end of the flight program, and. I don't remember what year the flight program ended. I know they started out with the Constellations, the Connies, and then switched over to DC-6s because I spent a lot of time watching airplanes out at that airport. At the time they were doing this, when he went to, came back to Havasu full-time and bought himself his white Jeep that he despised so much. He worked out of the hotel and he would, haul customers around. And there were many times I'd be in the back of the Jeep. I was told that I could go with him as long as I didn't talk. And I can't tell you how many times I listened to the pitch, you know, and I heard that pitch dozens and dozens of times, and it just kind of stuck in my head. Things yep. like, you know, underground utilities on the golf course. And what was that?
Do you still remember it?
Oh, a lot of it, yeah. Yeah, a lot of it. Like, you know, the golf course area, of course, all had gas because they had the gas lights out there. And the golf course area and that area was all underground utilities. That was one of the things that we tell people. Nobody would ever be allowed to develop on the shoreline or on the island. That was also something that they were told. And you remember, this is before incorporation. Okay, so that was the way it was then.
Mm-hmm.
Originally, there were supposed to be 5 different commercial areas around Lake Havasu City. That was the reason for that. C.B. Wood did that so that you would never have to drive to a central downtown area to go shopping. So the 5 commercial areas where there would be grocery stores and places to shop would, of course, be McCulloch Boulevard, which is now, you know, fully developed.
Right.
Then up at McCulloch and Jamaica, were near where the Elks Lodge is. That was another commercial area. Third one was out on Maricopa. So Maricopa from South McCulloch towards South Tacoma. That was another commercial area. Of course, we have Bash's out there now. That was the third one. Fourth one was, I believe, where Food City is located now. And the fifth one was up by Kiowa and Avalon, in the area where Kiowa drive through is. But that was the intention. And there were also, 5 city parks, which I do not remember exactly where all those were. I remember what became Jack Hardy Park was one of them. But that was the idea, for the city in the 1960s, so that you wouldn't have traffic issues in one central area.
Dan?
Yeah, sure.
Oh, what else was the big thing was people wanted to buy something close to the lake on the shoreline, and that was just not an option back then. That was the really big thing, I think, is, you know, they wanted to be close to the water so they have a view. Oh, the other one was, and I could be off on this, but I believe the original height restriction in town was 22 feet. And that was so no one could ever block your view. And if I, here again, I'm shooting from the hip, but if I recall, when the Queens Bay Hotel was built, that was the first one where that was given a waiver. Of course, this was after incorporation. Before incorporation, that's what people were told. So
right, right. Dan, you still there?
Well, yes, I am.
Okay, perfect.
So I tried listening to it with earphones on the internet. Unfortunately,
no, there's
the podcast is delayed.
Yeah, you have the delay on that. But if you listened on a regular radio, you should be fine. So.
Yeah, the problem is I don't have a radio with earphones, so I don't get an echo.
Oh.
So anyway, it's all good. So we're just, as you can tell, folks, we're just winging it here a little bit, as Joe and I are challenged to coordinate our communications. But, you know, let me ask you, Joe, was your dad actually involved with any of the other communities that the corporation Holly created?
Was his dad involved in what, Dan?
Any of the other communities?
Oh, good question.
Like Fountain Hills?
Like yeah.
Yes.
No. He was familiar with Fountain Hills and Pueblo West, but he never worked in those areas. He always stayed here. By the time he got off the road, so to speak, by the time he was no longer working as a generator back east, he didn't have much interest in traveling. So he stayed with Holly until the flight program shut down. And of course, a lot of the guys who were with the flight program, like Gary Baumkirchner, Bill Blanchard, and others, went into private real estate sales. He didn't really have an interest in doing that. So he was basically quite content to, he had a numerous different little side hustles that he worked over the years. He was an amazing salesman. So there was a time when the white Jeep was used. He and I think it was Bob Campbell, not Campbell Boats, but Bob Campbell was a Holly salesman also, got the idea to sell gourmet meats. And so they got freezers that they could put in the back of the white Jeeps.
That's quite,
and they would drive around and door to door, and it was called Kingsway Gourmet Meats. Man, we ate a lot of good steaks, because I don't think that was really successful. But back then, we actually had butcher shops in town. So that was one of his little endeavors. But he never had any active role in Pueblo West or Fountain Hills. Huh. I know he went over there and went to Fountain Hills for a few times, but I think he was over there talking to Del Webb or whoever was building over there. Del Webb did a lot of work here in Havasu.
Dan, you about ready to take a break?
Yeah, we'll take a break.
All right, let's do that. Again, you're listening to the Havasu Pioneers radio show, and boy, it is April Fool's, man. Even the YouTube song that I had queued up was muted as I went to bring it up. This is like a day for jokesters and gremlins, isn't it? That's my first experience with that type of April Fool's show. Anyway, Dan De Los Santos, our guest, is on the line. We also have our guest speaker, as Dan calls him, Joe. And back with more in a moment. On Speak Out, stay with us for more of the Havasu Pioneers Radio Show, brought to you exclusively by Mercury Air Conditioning and Heating. Stay with us. Welcome back to the Havasu Pioneers Radio Show. Back to our guest, Joe Honeycutt, in a moment. Speak Out, broadcasting live from the City Maytag Speak Out Kitchen with no sink on that McCulloch Boulevard that we were talking about. Fine City Maytag, 911 North Lake Havasu Avenue. Also, Mojave Mortgage. Love those guys. By Mojave Electric Cooperative, Bradley Chevrolet and Bradley Ford. By TWN Fiber Internet. Salmon's Air Conditioning, also Blonzy Steakhouse on North London Bridge Road, and A&B Propane, ABPropaneAZ.com. And take it back to Dan right now. Dan,
yeah,
are you there?
I sure am. So
all right,
I want to thank the listeners for joining us today. We're having a little bit of a challenge here on April Fool's, but we're trying to work our way through it. We have with us Joe Honeycutt, and his dad, Ray, was one of the Holly salesmen. And so, you know, these are iconic salespeople, folks. These guys went beyond call, went beyond the call of duty to actually get not only people here to Lake Havasu City with air flights and a number of other great opportunities for people to come and see our community, but also when they went to show the properties, It was quite a unique experience. Joe, can you share with folks about what that experience was like for people when they landed and actually got in a Wagoneer and had to go find their property?
So basically, McCulloch Airlines would fly direct in from Rochester, Detroit, Atlanta, wherever they were coming from. The sales guys, and they were all guys, would meet down here at the old airport, and they would already have their leads or customer assignments out, and basically they would drive them around, you know, get them to the hotel, let them settle in a little bit, and then they would take them out on a tour of the city on whichever tracks were open. There were numerous different tracks in the city, and only some of them were open for sales. Some of them, the infrastructure was in, but they weren't open for sales. Others, they hadn't quite finished yet. But they would take them to tracks that were open for sale, and those white Jeeps could climb over stuff, and they would get them up on the lot, show them that pretty view, and basically just drive them around, and it was all showing them opportunities for lots. They already knew basically what they were interested in. Were they looking for something higher end, like out on the golf course, where a lot may cost $3,500 to $4,000, $5,000? Or were they looking for something more economical, where they could raise a family and build a house, build a three-bedroom, two-bathroom house for on a lot that cost $1,500 to $2,500? And they would show them numerous different ones. And then in the evening, you know, they would take them. I don't remember which night it was. One night they would have dinner there at the old hotel where the law enforcement center is now. It had a waterfall coming off the roof. Beautiful place. And then the next night they would take them to the Nautical Inn. And they would have dinner at the Nautical Inn. And I think that was the second night before they were to get on a flight. And I believe that had something to do with whether they had bought or not. If my dad was alive, he could take you through all the wherefores and what ifs on this. But basically they're driving around in a white Holley Jeep with air conditioning that may or may not be able to keep up with 120 degrees in the shade, showing them, you know, take them down to State Beach, which wasn't even a beach then. That was before they dredged the channel. And boy, you better know what you were doing when you went down there. If it wasn't four-wheel drive, you were going to be there a long time. But they would take them down there because there was a lot of nice sand down there, and show them that beach area. In fact, when we were down here as kids, before we permanently moved here, we spent a lot of time down there. And eventually they dredged the channel to come out right there. But yeah, basically they'd drive them around in a Jeep, get to know them, and it was an extremely effective sales tactic. They had a captive audience. Now, they did have people that would find a way to sneak away, because you could rent a car out here at the airport back then, and they'd drive to Vegas. Laughlin didn't exist.
Right.
That wasn't appreciated by the salesman or the generator, believe me. And if they missed their return flight, they were on their own. So,
hey, Dan, I have a question. For Joe. Joe,
sure.
Do you remember, I don't know, I know you were a kid in that, but maybe you found some records. How much were the lots back then?
Well, the lots, like I said, the residential lots, the R1 lots, for basic housing, are you familiar with the FHA tracks?
I'm not. Dan, are you familiar with the FHA tracks?
Oh,
yes, I am. I am, Joe.
So the FHA tract is Lower Smoketree down around Saguaro and that area.
Okay.
Toward Lake Havasu Avenue. That was one of the first housing tracts.
Okay.
Those lots, I'm guessing, went for somewhere between $1,200 and $1,800.
Oh, wow.
Your golf course lots were $3,500 to $5,000. You gotta remember, this is the late 60s, early 70s. So they weren't, you know, by today's standards, it's like, holy cow, if I'd only bought one of those. Well, a lot of people did.
Sure.
And they sat on them and they're worth a lot of money. But, yeah, the average lots, they were meant for working people. McCulloch's idea was to bring people here who would open businesses or be employees. A lot of people back, you know, a number of years ago said, oh, it's a retirement community. It was built as a retirement community. It was never intended to be a retirement community. It was not Sun City. Definitely not. The people who moved here, who were qualified to come here, they were people who built small businesses, and opened stores and took a huge chance with their life. I mean, this was, an amazing feat for a 30 or 40 something with two young kids to pull up roots and just disappear to a desert that had a 19 mile long road coming into it that if it rained was going to be impassable, and that, there was nothing here. It's, my dad referred to it as the land of kitty litter.
Yeah, I don't know how people lived without the modern air conditioning as we know it. Obviously, air conditioning wasn't as fine-tuned as it is now. It must have just been rough in June, July, and August.
One of the things that you can look at as you drive around town, do you know what I mean by slumpstone?
No.
Okay, slumpstone, it's a type of brick, and it's concrete, and it was once a very, very popular building material around here, and they would put a cellulose granular insulation into the holes or something.
Uh-huh.
That house that we lived in out on the golf course when we first got here, it was built of slumpstone. And if you put your hand against the wall, it was hot. I mean, the insulation was horrible.
Right, right.
You had a lot of houses with flat roofs, and Dan will remember that, you know, most of the roofs in town were covered with rocks.
Sure, sure.
They'd lay tar paper down over it, spray it with whatever they used, and put rocks on top of it.
We had the same type of building techniques in Vegas too, in those days. Sure, sure. Dan, are you ready for a break?
Sure, Paul.
Okay, no problem. I know it's a little bit different, but we are trudging on just like our pioneer spirit, right? That's how we're doing it. We're adapting and overcoming. All right. It is April Fool's Day, and this is the Havasu Pioneers Radio Show on Speak Out. I'm Paul Lavoie. Our guest, Joe Honeycutt, and of course the host of the Havasu Pioneers Radio Show is Dan De Los Santos, brought to you exclusively by Mercury Air Conditioning and Heating. Stay with us, we'll be right back. A little Three Dog Night as we come back in to Speak Out, brought to you in part by Springberg Wealth Management, also by The Chair, by Laughlin Ranch, Mojave College, Shooter's Emporium on Main Street, Lake Havasu City, also Solar Power by Esme Electric, Doritos Place, and by Legacy Rehab and Care, also Western Arizona Regional Medical Center in Bullhead City. And you're listening to the Havasu Pioneers Radio Show. And I'll send it back to Dan De Los Santos.
Yeah, hi. And we have Joe Honeycutt with us today, and we are excited to have him on as we learn a little bit more about the Holly salesmen that help populate our community. And, you know, so Joe was talking about the FHA track. And, you know, Joe, one thing I remember is it was explained to me the reason that track had been created was because we did not have any comps for the lending institutions to judge the value of properties. The properties and the homes that were being built were spread out quite a ways. So when they built that subdivision, it allowed the lenders to actually provide loans to the homeowners, new homeowners, in regards to just having the ability to judge the value of a home, which is just only a block or two away. So it was really an important track for Lake Havasu City, one of the very first. And, you know, I think, you know, one thing we talk about, the Jeep Wagoneers with the Holley salesman, you know, McCulloch had gone out and it went to, I believe it was Texas, and acquired 6 to 8 Corvairs that the corporation had, Corvair had shut down business, and he picked up some of the vehicles that were sitting in the yard that were runnable, but they had no windows, no doors, and actually had no seats. So they had to throw seats in them, and painted them, and they weren't terribly successful. They weren't, the salesman didn't really want to ride in them, so they ended up at one of the local car sales, and even my brother used to own one of them. But that was, they were considered the spare vehicles at the time because they had literally started to run out of Jeep Wagoneers. Is that how you remember it, Joe?
Okay, so Skip Ramble Motors was the one that, that's where my dad got his Jeep, I know that. But Skip Randall, I forgot about the Corvairs, yes. Yeah, they were cut down like buggies with no doors, and they were actually kind of cute, and they rented for some silly few dollars a day or a dollar an hour or something like that. I do recall that, yeah. So, but yeah, that Skip Randall Motors is one that, they were around for a long time, even after the flight program shut down, but he sold a lot of Jeeps, I know that.
I remember seeing him through high school. One of the things that we want to make sure that we share with our listeners today is the fact that McCulloch was certainly known for creating Lake Havasu City, but what a lot of people don't know are the other communities that he and C.V. Wood and the Holley Development Group were responsible for creating, and of course Lake Havasu City was their crowning achievement. But they also created Fountain Hills, Arizona, Pueblo West, Colorado, and I got to tell you, I've been there several times. They have McCulloch Boulevard running right down into the Pueblo Lake, which is fascinating. And all the homes that surround that area really they mirror so many of the designs that we have here in Lake Havasu City today. Also included is Spring Creek, Nevada, which is a fascinating community. Silver Lakes, California. And this one kind of threw me. The Holiday Island, Arkansas. And that's actually quite a community, which is known for its big waterfall in the middle of their lake. And then in Amarillo, Texas, there was multiple projects that had taken place. And so, that's quite a bit. It was fascinating how many millions of dollars were spent in the excess of $60 million in some of these areas. So they were, and this all took place while Lake Havasu City was being created because the dates that are associated with these communities stem from the 1970 all the way through 1977. There were some legal challenges back in 1977, but, they managed to get through those. But again, the remnants of their efforts still exist today. So, Joe, you yourself, have lived in Havasu, and, what's your fondest memory of being here?
I'm sorry, I missed that. What was that?
He said, what was your fondest memory of being here when you were here?
You know, it's hard to pick any one thing. I will tell you that I wanted to go back up north constantly. But in retrospect, I look at it, and I wouldn't be the person I am if I hadn't grown up here, because it was a very close-knit community. I think my fondest memory of living here was learning to fly airplanes here. I learned to fly at the old airport, which is where the best crosswind pilots in the world come from, because if you couldn't land in a crosswind, this old airport wasn't some place you wanted to be. But I look back on it, and I can't imagine what my life would have been if I had not basically grown up here. Owned a business for 20 years, owned the photo lab in Safeway Plaza until 2000 when life changed, and I shut it down. There was all kinds of opportunities. If you wanted to get out and work and hustle, I started working when I was 15 years old for Foodland, and, went on to be an assistant manager for them after I turned 18, for crying out loud. So there were all kinds of opportunities for young people here. But when you first moved here in the 60s and early 70s, it looked like the face of the moon. So.
Right. Dan, we have less than 2 minutes. If you want to start wrapping it up?
Yeah, sure. Well, and Joe, I want to thank you very much for coming on the show today and sharing some really great stories and information regarding your dad, your family, and arriving here in Lake Havasu City. It's truly something that we appreciate, and I know a lot of our listeners grew up with you and are appreciating the stories as well. Our next show is going to be May 6th at 11 o'clock, folks. It will switch back to 11. We apologize for the inconvenience, and we certainly will stay on top of it going forward. With that, did you have anything to add, Paul?
No, I'm good. Joe, thank you for the experience. Took us all way back, and I kind of understand things a little bit better, not being a pioneer myself. Thank you so much.
Not a problem. It was very enjoyable.
All right, Dan?
Yes, sir.
Oh, I guess I'll take it to break then?
Yeah, that would be great.
All right.
Thanks for listening to our show, folks. And wait till you see what we have for the next show. It'll be pretty interesting.
All right. Thank you, Dan De Los Santos, and appreciate Joe Honeycutt for being on the show today. And I'll come back with a final shot in a moment. Thank you so much for joining us today on the Havasu Pioneers Radio Show. Back with more in a moment on Speak Out. Stay with us. Welcome back to Speak Out. A little preview for tomorrow. We're going to have Brandon Bowers on. Brandon, of course, I think he's a regional editor now for the Havasu Herald newspaper. And I think he's going to bring Daisy in, too, Daisy Nelson. And we're going to talk about the paper, the move they just made, and then we'll sneak in a little bit of info on the upcoming candidates forum, which is in June. I think it's the 17th. I'll have to look on my calendar. Mike Canusio is also going to be here. He's the candidate for Legislative District 30 State Representative. So Mike will be in at 11:30. And then, of course, on Good Friday, we got the birthday show. And actually, it's a Good Friday show. We'll have Pastor Kay Zimmerman, and then we'll have Rabbi Mendel Super on a recorded segment. So Hannity's up next, preceded by Fox News. Thanks for joining us on the Havasu Pioneers Radio Show.
This is KNTR Talk, KJJJ HD2 Laughlin. Heard on 106.7 FM, 106.5, and 106.3. The voice of the free.